Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord and minister God's word with you this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Psalm 37. And we'll read the first seven verses of this psalm. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 7. Beginning at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee thy desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. Let us go to pray. Father God, we're grateful for your words this evening, and we just pray you press your truths upon our hearts, Lord. Lord, guide us and help us to understand and learn from you, Lord. And Lord, your Holy Spirit will convict us of the things that we need to change and learn from your marvelous word. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we live in a very different world compared to when our parents grew up, where things that were classed imaginable or impossible are now a reality through technological advancements. And with these technological advancements, it seems that society changes with them, and it changes dramatically. Today, what is classed as normal and honourable was unacceptable in the past. And what was normal and honoured back then is now abhorred. We see the attack on the holy institution of marriage, where not only do they allow same couples to marry, but now they also allow people to marry material objects such as trees, computers, and even bridges. Today's society boasts that they're more educated today, but these same people can't even define what a woman is. They also believe they can change gender because they feel or identify as opposite to what they were born. And they expect us as society to toe the line, even though it goes against biology. It seems like our politicians don't have the backbone to even be able to lead the nation anymore or uphold God's moral standards and laws. Rather, they want to relate to everyone and every common person to try and be trendy or edgy, try not to offend the minorities so they look more inclusive. A whole generation now gets its information from two-minute videos of TikTok or influencers on social media or sports people or Hollywood actors or musicians. Mark Dice, a conservative political commentator, in one of his videos goes out in the streets of California and he asks passing adults what book have they read or what books are they reading. Astonishingly, many confess to him that they haven't read books in years. And the few that did confess that they did read books said it was Harry Potter. One person finally admitted to currently reading 5 books. Mark Dice, surprised at his comment, asked him sarcastically, "You're not American, are you?" Which the man replied, "No, I'm a Canadian." And Mark Dice goes on, it gathers. With all this madness and so much lunacy in the world, the words of Isaiah the prophet could not be any more truer in our ears, where he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitters for sweet and sweet for bitter," Isaiah 5:20. And this is why the psalmist tells us at the beginning of our psalm, "Fret not." And this psalm is written by King David in his old age, verse 25 tells us, where he now has seen a light in his life, and his experiences with man and God have been a lot during his lifetime. And he begins this verse, "Fret not." The word "fret" in our English language has a quite wide meaning. It means to worry, to fume, to make angry, to grieve, agitate of the mind, to complain, to be irritated, to be vexed, to be impatient. The Hebrew translation of the word in the Strong's Concordance means to burn hot with anger, to be displeased, to grieve, and to be wrathful. We can all agree this evening that this world we live in is full of all kinds of wickedness, and perilous times are coming upon us, just like the Apostle Paul warned Timothy that will come at the soon coming of return of Christ. Some people who would do good for another person is far and few between these days. Good old-fashioned manners seems non-existent in public, to the point where they're not even taught in the home anymore. A few years ago, when I was on the tools, I had a terrible day. I was wet. I'd been working out in the rain all day. And I get onto the train, peak hour traffic, completely full of people, and I notice this pregnant lady sitting on the floor. And I just look at her, and she goes, "It's all right, love." And I said, "No, it's not. You're sitting on a wet floor of the train." So I go downstairs, and I say to this young fella, "Can you please get up out of your seat?" And he says, "I'm not getting out of your seat for you." And I said, "It's not for me. It's for the pregnant lady. It's sitting on the floor. Could you please get up and be respectful?" The whole crowd claps and cheers me on. I said, "What are you people cheering me on for? You're all sitting down as well." People will not stand up and do what is right because they're scared of what's going to come to them. I knew maybe trouble would come, so I left to the other carriage. But we know the things that we see and hear every day that cause us to fret. It could be multiple things. It could be how our society is driven to be selfish and ambitious with its success, no regard of others. They might lie, they steal, they cheat, and even destroy others in the process of their accomplishments. We look no further to their governments. They might break election promises, waste taxpayers' money on infrastructure projects. Instead of governing, they are more concerned about people's pronouns and promote fake science. Whilst people struggling to make ends meet, they give themselves huge pay rises and then tax the working people more. They bring laws against Christianity while inciting the instructions of how to pray in Parliament every day. It might be the injustices that we see or hear about. It might be that our court systems are becoming broken. Criminals commit heinous crimes, are let back on the streets again on bail, only to re-offend on the same crime that they originally committed. Or once they have been sentenced, the court issues a penalty that does not even fit the crime that they committed. And then when they are sentenced, they're let out on bail early because they behaved. Maybe we get fret or get annoyed because of the attack on the home and the family. Or it could be against the innocent children that are forced to accept transgenderism and as normal in storybook readings at public libraries. It cannot be denied this evening that wicked men are often highly esteemed and in great prosperity. And they live for this life, and they're often cunning and selfish in their deeds. Whilst pious men are looking towards eternity, are poor and despised and usually humble and meek. And sometimes this brings great perplexity to our minds as we struggle to understand why such good things should fall onto men who promote and live in wickedness. All the while, God-fearing man suffers tremendously. So I ask you a question this evening. What is it that makes you fret or become hot with anger? Maybe it's some of these things I've mentioned this evening. Maybe it's all of them, or maybe it's something else. So, what are the reasons why we should not fret this evening about these matters? And what are the dangers of doing so? And what shall we do about it? Firstly, I turn your attention back to Psalm 37:1, where David says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." If we as believers are exhibiting fretful disposition, we are living in the flesh instead of evidence of a spirit-controlled life, Galatians 5:21 tells us. To fret will cause us to lead into all sinful practices of envy and lust and covetousness, which is contrary to what we're called to walk in. And envy springs from pride and ambition and will lead us to all types of the works of the flesh, such as jealousy and grudging, covetousness, anger and hatred. Envy will tear apart friendships and relationships, marriages and families, destroying the harmony and making enemies, which can even lead to murder. And we see this in examples of in the scriptures with Cain and Abel, which led to the first murder of a family member. We see this also in our Lord when he was delivered to Pilate, where the crowd chose Barnabas to release from prison, and Pilate knew their decision was based on envy, Matthew 27:18 tells us. And this is one of the reasons the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders plotted to kill Jesus, because of Jesus' popularity increased, and they're fearful they'll lose control of the people. The Bible clearly teaches that this passion of the soul is sinful, the outcome of which is due to an impure heart. And this passion is contrary to Christ. To those who name him Lord should not allow this passion of the soul to rise. Neither should we dwell upon it in our minds. Rather, we should remove this flame from the soul, far from us. When we think about it, why would we envy the prosperity of the wicked in the first place? We see that it is foolish to do so within the scriptures. If you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19, and we read verse 3. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." So the question remains, why should we bring so much agitation to our minds and vex our souls, which will injure us in the long run if we cannot and will cause us not to rest in the Lord? We must understand, firstly, that this prosperity is God's mercy unto all men, regardless if they're righteous or they're sinners. And secondly, all pleasures and materialism are only temporal. We see the outcome of the wicked in Psalm 37, verse 2. And we see why this is so foolish, because the psalm tells us, "For they shall soon be cut down." Oh, I missed the page. "Like the grass, and wither as a green herb." We see that it's only temporal, that they will not last long. And that's why Jesus tells us not to store up treasures on earth, because they are soon destroyed or stolen, but rather we should be focused on eternal treasures that will last forever, in Matthew 6:19 to 21. Thirdly, we're reminded of the words of Jesus when he stated that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven, in Mark 10:25. We're also warned in the Gospels of the outcome of those who focus on earthly prosperity and not concerned with internal matters, and they use their wealth for selfish purposes, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16:19 to 31. What vanity it is to gain the whole world but lose our soul. Or what will you give in exchange for our soul, we're told in Matthew 16:26. While it is true The wicked are successful in business, have much material wealth, eat the finest foods, wear the nicest clothing. It is all vanity and temporal, which will perish with them. We as believers can rest in the Lord and have peace and know that we are much wealthier than those, the wicked. Because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, we have internal life, our treasures are up in heaven and won't be destroyed by the elements of the earth, and no thieves can steal them. Christ also promises to build us a mansion where streets of gold and all types of precious stones, a place where there be no sickness, no pain, no suffering, no sadness. Therefore, let us not lose sight of eternity and be led astray with earthly prosperities or fill our minds with envy. And for this reason, the psalmist tells us to trust the Lord. He tells us in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We saw in the first two verses of this psalm the disposition of a godly person should not fret, or nor should they envy. Now we see a new disposition, which is to trust, which will bring joy and meekness. If we're going to have peace and joy in this life, we need to rest in the Lord and have faith in him only. Let us never forget that he's omniscient and he has all things under control. Nothing happens without the approval of God for his plans for us in our lives. We should not put our trust in riches or man, which is like the grass and the herb, which will be withered away, which are uncertain. Whereas we should trust in the Lord, for he is everlasting and strong. I turn your attention to Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. The psalmist tells us here in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, that it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. If we can trust Christ for our salvation and save our souls from the judgment of hell, then we should be able to rely on him for all things temporal and spiritual. Faith is the antidote to fretness and envy for every believer in Christ. Because God is omnipotent and he cannot fail us from providing for us. He will never forsake us. Therefore, he is worthy to be trusted and to be praised by all men. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, we read, Psalm chapter 9, verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. To trust in the Lord, we need to have a temperament of patience. And the virtue of patience is opposite to fretfulness. Patience is to have a calm temper, which bears hardships, suffering and evil, waiting for the justice of God, and not complaining or murmuring. Whereas fretfulness is to be violently agitated in the mind, to be anger, to complain, to worry, or be impatient. The unrighteous trust in their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their provisions and wealth, and even trust in other men who are fallible, which will fail them over and over again, but they continue to trust them regardless. Whereas we serve a God who has created all things, is in control of all, who knows all things, and a God who is infallible, who cannot fail, who loves us dearly, and will never depart from us. So we need to remember that God's timing is perfect. It's not too soon, it's not too late. It's just at the right time that he usually provides for us and delivers us out of trouble. His timing is worth waiting for, because God is the only... His timing is worth waiting for because God is the only true resting place of our souls, where we will have true peace and joy, especially in times of trouble and hardships and our needs. We're told throughout the scriptures that the love of money is the root of all evil, which will cause many sorrows to man. And we think about all earthly possessions, wealth, pleasures, stature are empty and worthless, and even vanity, the Bible tells us. These things cannot fill the desire that man wants in his soul. They only provide a temporal cover or a temporal relief. And none of these things can be compared to the rest, hope, peace and mercy that we have in the Lord when we submit to him. David tells us in Psalm 32, verse 10, many sorrows of the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. We're reminded of the psalmist King David, who spent much time in the wilderness as a fugitive, and learned that being in a place where there's no distractions of worldly pleasures, comforts of life, and people is actually a fertile ground to focus on God and draw closer to him, to wait on him and to rely on him solely for all his provision, guidance, and direction. And the wilderness is a great place where testings will take place to build a character and help us to conform in the image of Christ. The Apostle Paul, who was no stranger to afflictions, told the believers at Philippi in Philippians 4:19, he learned many lessons and remembered that Jesus did say that Paul will suffer many great things for him. And Paul comes to realize this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. In verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. So in closing this evening, we as believers might not have many comforts as the world does. We might not be promoted to the high positions of authority or in our careers because of who we serve. We might see the injustices and the corruption and the weakness that people do, but instead of them being reprimanded, they are promoted. And whilst those who do good are opposed and downgraded, it might seem that there's no justice, that it's not fair, and there's no more hope. But we must never forget that God always sees and hears all things. He will never forget our cries unto him. And he is in complete control. We always must remember he's in complete control of all the affairs of man. So whatever our lot is in this earth, we must never fret or envy, especially what the wicked has or does. Rather, we should submit to him and unto his will and trust in his guidance and provision. Sometimes we can have this sweet rest and peace in him, and all these comforts of life will seem worthless because we only need Christ. And sometimes we're dragged to the wilderness where we have nothing, so we can only look to him and trust in him and be guided by him. So do not fret, brethren, today if we're in that wilderness, because Christ is trying to teach us something. And let the words of the hymn, "Take the World, But Give Me Jesus" by Franny G. Grosby, be our prayer tonight. In verse 2, the hymn says, "Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort to my soul. With my Saviour watching over me, I can sing though the billows roll. We know that Jesus is always with us. He will not leave us or forsake us. Let us not worry about earthly possessions and earthly pursuits, but let's look towards heavenly and trust in the Lord. And once we trust in the Lord, we'll have sweet peace and sweet rest in Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we're grateful for your words, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that there are so many things in this world that brings us displeasure. But Lord, let us be reminded that you are in control. And Lord, we just pray that we can continue looking to you, be for guidance and for discernment, and that we'd be guided by you to change in you, Lord. And that we'd rest in you, knowing that you have everything under control and nothing happens without your authority. So, Lord, we're grateful for these things and pray you teach us and bring them to remembrance as we go our ways, and keep us safe from the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother.